This is the Rich Eisen Show
with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
The kick is no good!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Back to throw is hurt. Throws left. It's intercepted!
What the hell just happened? I want to apologize to the good people of the UK for waking up half their country.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long. Pro Football Hall of Famer Emmett Smith. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Hey there, that's me. Hi there. How are we doing, everybody?
Hello.
I hope you're doing well.
Hello.
Yes, I have a voice. I did not expect to have a voice today, but I'm happy to be back here. Planes, trains, and automobiles to be back in the chair for one last day for Rich, who is back tomorrow. I believe he is somewhere at 37,000 feet in the air right now, I believe. Yes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Coming back from London after calling the Baltimore Ravens, beating the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry yesterday at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Rich is back in the chair right here in the studio that he built coming up tomorrow. Chris Brockman,
hey.
Mike Del Tufo, TJ Jefferson. Happy Monday to each and every one of you. What's going on? Everyone good? Good weekends?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, sounds enthusiastic with that answer. Thank you. TJ. Okay, great.
I had a great weekend, Andrew.
Okay, thank you, Del Tufo.
Thanks,
Brockman,
great job,
you
Mike.
Okay?
Let's see. I got knocked out of Survivor Pool.
Other than that.
Because I picked the Eagles.
Yep.
The Patriots lost, which I'm actually kind of happy about.
Okay.
Better draft pick. What else? I'm good, man.
Okay.
Life
well,
is good.
You know what?
No, Andrew, my weekend can't be determined
okay.
until after the varsity game tonight.
Oh,
we'll
no.
see how Dallas does.
Here we go.
How about a guy that, you know, played for both the Eagles and the Patriots and won a Super Bowl with both of them? He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He is an amazing podcaster as well. He's a podcast entrepreneur and a business owner as well. The Green Light Podcast. The great Chris Long joins us on the Rich Eisen Show. What's going on, man?
Small business owner.
Yeah, small business owner, but like with eyes on like capturing.
I don't know anymore.
Podcast world.
I don't know anymore. Who wants to do that? I mean, like success is Pat McAfee. The guy does not stop working.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was on the road this weekend, and Friday I was at Purdue. We did Ohio State-Purdue Saturday on Peacock.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there after talking to the Purdue coaches, and Pat came – they were at Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for that one. And mm-hmm. he's doing the show Friday afternoon, and someone in our crew, Kyle Rudolph actually, looked up, and we both just said, man, like what a schedule. Like, good God. Like, it's this show and that show and then game day. And by the way, it's great to be working and great to be making that money. No one's complaining.
No Certainly question.
Good for Pat.
I'm just a little lazy,
yeah,
maybe.
But then it's like, hey,
life.
Do the alternate feed during the game and then do your own show on Monday.
Yeah.
And then, hey, work
Hats
while you've
off.
Got the work, man.
Hats off to my dude, Pat, because that's what success looks like. Small business, though, right now. It's good to see you, Andrew.
Likewise, man. Good to see you as well. Thanks for making time, even with all your stuff you're doing here on a Monday. What'd you think of that Jets-Eagles game yesterday?
Well, I thought, like, you know, the two undefeateds went down, right?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about either team, not any more than I was going in. You know, like, I think the Eagles have been working through things offensively. Lane Johnson injury would be the biggest worry for me. Like, if you came out of this game and said, hey, you lost, but you're getting Lane back soon, great. Now, if you're not getting Lane back soon, that's a bigger problem than anything that happened on the field. And it's a bigger problem than anything in the secondary. You know, secondary has been an issue. I thought those Jets guys, though, stepped up in the back end really well. And I think the biggest thing for me was waking up this morning and reading and listening to people like Jalen Hurts comes up short. Jalen Hurts played bad, this, that, and the third. I'm going to be as honest as I can. I don't think Jalen Hurts played bad until that last pick. I don't know if that's a shock to anybody watching or listening. I don't know what game you were watching. The two picks that were thrown before were not on him. You know, Dallas Goedert got the ball taken off him by Jermaine Johnson, and that's an interception that way. And Jermaine Johnson, again, making a big play. Beating Lane's replacement, getting a hand on Jalen's arm, and the ball flutters up in the air. I thought without the run game going, playing a little bit left-handed, if you just don't have the drops If you don't have the turnovers, this game's 24-6, 24-9 late, and it would have been a tougher script for the Jets to follow. Having said that, this is the NFL. You make mistakes, mm-hmm. teams like this beat you. And I got to tip my cap to Robert Saleh and to Zach Wilson. I thought Zach Wilson played a really good game relative to my expectation, even with the secondary back there. The throw he made to Garrett Wilson backed up was like a legitimate wild throw. And he avoided the bad wild throws. I think for the Eagles, you got to get healthy and you got to put teams away. You know, you looked at San Francisco in the same vein, not to bleed into another, undefeated loss, but, you know, they had chances to put that game away. When you're playing a team on the road that you don't think is as good as you, and you got Brandon Ayuk and it's 3rd and 13, the ball hits him in the hands, you got to make that play. If you got McCaffrey out of the backfield and you got a chance to go up a couple scores, you got to do that. If you're the Eagles and you come out of the half and, you know, you turn the ball over before the half, you drop a pass on the plus territory side of things, you end up 3rd and 23, you're going to lose that game. You leave these teams hanging around, you're going to lose these games. So the Eagles did not play well enough to win. I'm not more worried about them than I was, you know, coming into Sunday. And Jalen Hurts, I thought, played fine until that last – screw up, which was monumental. It reminded me of Lamar's screw up a week ago, where you play good the whole game and then, you know, you throw that pick in the end zone. My biggest issue is being aggressive in that situation on 3rd and 8, you know?
There's a lot to unpack there with Philly. I agree with you on Jalen Hurts. I also think there's kind of like, and you played there, you know how this happens, and I told you so. Because yeah. even through the undefeated 5-0 here, there is a lot of noise from the Philadelphia fans. Well, they're not as good as they were last year.
They're not.
And Brian Johnson's not the same play caller as Shane Steichen.
And he's not.
Are we running the ball? And Jalen's not the same. And like, guys, you're 5-0. Like, yeah. It's a week-to-week league. Anybody can beat anybody and be 5-0 and be happy about it. Now they get a chance to reset, and I'm with you. The Lane Johnson thing is absolutely huge. I was at the Browns game, Browns-Niners. I did Browns radio yesterday. Without Debo, don't know how long or what his yeah. deal is. Without McCaffrey, same thing. It was an oblique. I don't know if they saw it on the Fox broadcast, but he at one point he had the massage gun working on that side there, and then he came back in, and then he tapped back out again. All the Brock Purdy doubters, and yesterday he faced an amazing defense. They've given up 1,000 yards in 5 games, which is absurd.
Insane.
A great defense had a day. But now those who want to doubt Brock Purdy, I'm not one of them, we'll be able to see whether or not they have a leg to stand on. I don't think they will. I think Purdy will be just fine, but you take away some of these weapons, Chris. They were the only team of the NFL not to have not a Pro Bowler, but an all pro at wide receiver, tight end, and at running back. Now they only have one right now at tight end.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like any quarterback, you're the beneficiary of the context around you, sure. or you're going to struggle because things are not set up well around you. Like, there's very few quarterbacks in the league. I think there's just one that can win in any weather. And I mean that, like, you know, with Rashee Rice out there, with who knows, you know, like Patrick Mahomes can get it done. But most guys need some sort of structure. And this kid's used to having a lot of structure. I also think he's like, and, you know, I hate doing this because people will argue with you no matter. I've tried to compliment Brock Purdy and people have gotten mad at me when I say he's a fringe top 10 guy. Like, I'm saying, like, hey, you could be 8, you could be 12. I don't do the rankings things, but he's not in that like top 4 to 5 for me. But he's somewhere in that second tier of guys, and they're not growing him on trees. So this is not a slight. I think he's a really good player. And the thing I like about him is he makes plays off schedule. He can exist in the confines of the offense and be a point guard, but he can go score too. You know, a point guard who can distribute the ball and create. And I thought yesterday was his worst game as a pro. Okay. Not a huge shock, but if you take advantage of those opportunities, you know, the missed kicks, you know, after the Fred Warner pick, you miss a kick. You know, we talked about missing Debo, or not Debo. We talked about, bless you, my producers are having a sneezing fest back here. But
I think small business owner, man. That's what you got to go through.
Exactly. Everybody's sneezing. It's like tough. But missing Ayuk, missing McCaffrey, those are your opportunities. And then the game gets tight and the weather changes. I'm not making excuses for the kid. That's a really good defense. They manned him up. They said, hey, Jim came out of the half and said, you know, hey, wet ball. The wind's blowing a little bit. You can see it on Wisnowski's little sleeves. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was not an ideal situation. So in the same vein, I don't want to be overreactive. Now, Brock is entitled to one of these, like every other quarterback, you know, but he's going to have to win some of these, right, to prove that he's in that elite category. And this is what you're expected to do. And you can't always be Christian's healthy. You got to learn to win without him. Because if history tells you anything, he's going to be down for a game or two. And Debo plays physical. He's not always going to be out there. You have to figure out how to win left-handed sometimes. And I thought something that really hurt them was Dre Greenlaw's absence.
Yeah.
There were multiple plays down the stretch of that game that I think Dre Greenlaw makes, like the fourth and four, the pick in the end zone, which I think, you know, like maybe, or the free runner sack that Burks had. I mean, these are all little things that when you're not 100% healthy, the next man up has to win. And for Brock Purdy, I only saw him struggle once last year. I think it was Seattle primetime on the road. And they were the better team. You know, they outlasted them. But I haven't seen a hiccup like that since Seattle. And he's entitled to it. I think they'll be fine. But they got to stay healthy.
Yeah, 49ers get the Vikings coming up. You played in that defense. You know this defense. The stat that blew me away, and I saw it on Friday, and I didn't know what to make of it because some of these numbers here, you're like including when Jim Schwartz was a consultant with the Titans. But right. the numbers stand out. In games in which Schwartz has been a head coach or a coordinator or thrown one as a consultant, his defenses are 8-1 against Kyle Shanahan.
Wild.
Wild. You played in that defense. Why do you think that's the case?
If I had to guess, I mean, you talk about West Coast system, you talk about zone scheme, you talk about like guys getting on your edges, a penetration kills zone. That would be my only uneducated guess. I mean, you talk about Jim Schwartz's defense to and I'm a pass rusher, but like to the point where I was like, Jim, I don't have to play my keys. You want me to just run? That's how they do things. They want you to attack. They want you 4 yards up the field. And I think with that defensive front, it's like the perfect storm for his type of defense. They're pretty simple, you know. It's about the guys up front winning and the back end guys covering. And you know, in 17, we had that group. This back end's better, especially outside, right? So you've got the guys that can man up like they did in the second half, and then you've got a really good defensive line again. We didn't have Myles Garrett, but we had a Fletcher Cox, and you know, you could compare depth from there, but this group is probably just as good. They're going to be a tough out. And I think it's for Cleveland, it's like it justifies everything because, you know, the Browns haven't beaten a team undefeated this far into the season. I think we looked it up since the 60s.
Yep.
Like PJ Walker did it. All those freaking taped quarterback names on the back of your jerseys with all those names. PJ Walker authored the biggest win of regular season's Browns history, if you've been alive, you know, 50 years or whatever. That's crazy. And it's all about the defense. It's just – like you should come out of yesterday and say, if you're a Browns fan, we can do anything. But that was a perfect storm.
Yeah, and did it without Jack Conklin, who's obviously out for the year, without Joel Bitonio, without Nick Chubb, and without Deshaun Watson, and with P.J. Walker throwing two picks, and he should have thrown a third there on second down when they got to the red zone after
bad call too.
22-yard run. It's like, I don't know why you're throwing, but if you are at that point when you're running right and you see triple coverage, just run and slide and keep the clock
just
going.
Slide.
And he knew that too, and he said afterwards, like immediately, like that was absolutely all on me, but it almost cost him the game.
It did. And I just want to say this. I want to shout out that right tackle, DeJuan Jones,
the kid from Ohio State.
He has been, I mean, like, you know, you don't want anybody getting hurt, but it's almost like they found their guy. He's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking to Chris Long, a couple more minutes here. Chris, thanks for your time, of course, with the Greenlight Podcast. You also played and won a Super Bowl with the Patriots and Bill Belichick. We did the math now. He is 8 away from the all-time loss record in the regular season, which is a Jeff Fisher, Dan Reeves record. That's not in any way to take away from Bill Belichick's greatness. But having been in that building and having
won, or Jeff Fisher's.
Or Jeff Fisher, you've been in that building as well. How do you think this ends?
Man, if I knew, I'd go to Vegas. But it's hard to know. It's like kind of depends on – it's Bill and Robert. And, you know, like, while I think a lot of people – you glean things, or, you know, like I was there a year. Shoot, I'm not the insider that, you know, and Pats fans will tell you, you were just there for a year. So what do you know? And it's true. I don't know much, but I think it could end with Bill coaching somewhere else at some point. Like, why not? Like, the guy loves ball. I don't see him like building wooden ships in his free time and playing with his dogs.
Like going to Annapolis and becoming a shipbuilder.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't think he's going to be doing those model tall ships his whole life. And, you know, like, I know he likes the cross, but you go to a couple of these games, you're like, I want to coach
UVA,
football.
You're not a lacrosse guy now?
I played lacrosse, but I'm saying, like, there's nothing like it for him. And so, like, you tell me, you think with what they got going on, how far out are they?
They're not close. I think they're more in the conversation of
rebuild.
They're in a rebuild, but like, they're 1-5. They still have the Bills twice, right? And the Dolphins and the Chargers. The crazy thing is, Chris, right before he came on, like, they get the Jets week 18. Obviously, he was Jets coach for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that could be like with a top five, if not the number one pick, potentially. I don't think it's number one, but in the conversation, or the all-time loss record in the conversation, like, it all comes full circle, potentially week 18 to the Jets.
It's kind of poetic, though. Yeah. I mean, like, think about it. You know, Bill, you think of this guy who wants to do anything to win. Like, that's been well documented. Would he lose to win? I think he might already be losing to win. Like, and sometimes you don't have to coach to lose. Like, it's just a bad setup. And some of the personnel decisions, like, you go to Vegas last year, not that the Chandler Jones thing is recent, and it's kind of just a coincidence, but he is the guy that beats you. And then this year you go, Josh McDaniels beats you again. And Jacoby Myers is catching touchdowns in the end zone. Like, the reminders are everywhere for New England. And I think for fans, they're like, what the hell happened? It's crazy. But he's also smart and willing and savvy enough to, if they said, hey, we got to punt on this season and make it look like we're trying our very best to win these games, which we are, they could be in a quick rebuild situation. Now, the question for Robert is Gerard Mayo or somebody a better option? You know?
Remind me, was Gerard an assistant when you were there, or was he playing? No, he wasn't there.
No, Gerard and I are in the same draft class. It's my dude, but he's actually from Virginia as well. But, like, they've kept him around up there and not let him get out of the building.
Right. I think
he'd be a great head coach.
Yeah.
Maybe be a great head coach.
I think he's a guy. The question is, how do you do it? And you mentioned the personnel. Is there a scenario, and how would Bill react if Kraft came to him and said, look, you can coach, but we have to do something different with personnel, but then grow as his guy. Like, I don't know how.
Personnel's got to be better. Like, yeah. that, like, if, and I don't know that Matt is making a lot of decisions. You're talking about Matt Groh?
Yeah. I mean, it's Bill.
It's Bill. So, like, at some point, you know, I think maybe the first thing that happens is, like, hey, we got to make some personnel decisions in a different way. And this is all speculation. This is like me talking like Joe Fan. I don't have any insight other than just having played there. But you can't imagine, if this is an honest try and they're trying to win right now, that this is like, oh, we're close. And that's how they feel. I don't think so.
All right. We've taken way too much of your time. I mentioned Greenlight. Plug the whole podcast empire, because you just launched something new, right?
Yeah, we got a couple. We got a couple little shows that we're launching outside my show. But really, all you got to focus on is Greenlight Pod. Type it into Apple Podcasts. Type it into Spotify. We're on YouTube. We do a live show every Monday at 10 a.m. We got Diana Rossini joining us a lot of the weeks, talking about NFL insider type stuff. My brother co-hosting with me at times. I've got a few guys that I play with that are working here. You might enjoy it. Look us up.
Always enjoy it. Always. From his compound in Charlottesville. Chris Long, great to have you on, man. Continued success. Talk to you soon.
Hey, and one thing, Rich Eisen's might be the best guy in the booth that doesn't do it.
He's great.
Oh, my gosh.
Totally. Totally.
I'm not sucking up because he brings me on the show. Rich crushed it from London, as always.
Clip this. Plays for Rich tomorrow. Yeah, he's absolutely. Back tomorrow.
Yeah, he's great.
He's awesome. So are you. Thanks, Chris. Take care. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Chris. Be well.
Chris Long, everybody. A, he's great. B, he was a great player. C, I was joking about the podcast empire, but like he said, they are expanding. It's not just his show. He's bringing other people in under his umbrella. He has really done it the right way there. Not only as a former player, but just as a guy launching his own thing and expanding it. And he's great. Yeah. And he won two rings, one with the Patriots and one with the Eagles.
Back-to-back years.
We're kind of the opposite. I was born in Virginia, now live here forever. He was born here when dad was with the Raiders and has now lived in Virginia forever. Other than that, we have absolutely, other than that.
He's very tall. And
other than, and like, he's tall. Not, yeah. Crazily successful. Happy to be here.
Hey.
Have a donut.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up next, why the way in which Chris Brockman eats donuts leads us to believe he might be a serial killer. Just kidding. But who eats a donut like that?
He does.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that 2 minute drill with the Bengals?
Harris Barton was a people person. So yes. We were free for dinner during the week, but practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
And in the crowd?
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying you saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go, needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so I walked over and said, hey, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes, perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on.
Yeah. They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right,
I might have been wearing an Argonaut.
You'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said,
Yeah, we had a couple meetings about it. Yeah.
You did. So this is real. Like, it wasn't by the way.
No.
Wow. I love that.
Rich Eisen Show here. I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. Hi, I'm Andrew. Rich is back tomorrow. This desk is furnished by Grainger. It is lovely. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Thanks for looking for my credit card that I thought I left on this desk yesterday, guys.
Oh, you did not find it.
You did not find it. But I did when I got home late last night in the couch cushions at my house.
In your couch cushions.
I texted these guys Friday night. Because remember when I took my wallet out and I was trying to take my lottery ticket and I ripped it I thought like maybe my credit card fell out because I couldn't find my credit card when I got to Indiana. I'm like, hey, oh my God, where'd I lose it? Please. You log on. That's have there been brutal. Charges? Yeah, I thought it was here. Actually, real quick here. I thought I like left the card somewhere and someone picked it up and sent me like a taunting DM. No, hear me out.
Wow.
So when I couldn't find it, I was looking at my phone and I saw I had a DM from a stranger and it said, "You don't carry a wallet?" Question mark.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
"Jeez."
Whoa. Does that mean
you have my card?
You have my credit card?
Or did you just watch the show?
Log on immediately.
Right.
Right. It's not like Lost Highway, David Lynch, where Robert Blake goes, "I'm in your house right now." But it was like one of those.
Robert Blake.
I know.
And, that's great. And so I log on. There are no charges here. Wait. Like, what's going on? So I DM'd the guy and said, like, "What do you mean?" Question mark. And I get back immediately, "Go Phils," because they had just won the game.
Go Phils.
And I'm like, "Wait, what? Is this guy trolling me now?"
I mean, go Phils.
And he says, "I was watching the show today and you took..." Well, I did it again. Look. Look, I did it again. Wow, that was not planned. Wow, what a bit. What a bit. What a bit. This is now like where the part where I fall through the desk, right?
That's tremendous.
Oh, my God, I'm done.
He goes, "I was watching the show today, and you took this out."
You couldn't have planned
right?
That.
I couldn't have planned it better. That was totally unplanned. Totally unplanned. To take out my lottery... "Oh, yeah, you took it out to show your lottery ticket." And so that's when he DM'd, and I had just seen it hours and hours later.
Oh, good, you don't
carry a wallet. Sometimes I have, like, a rubber band around this. I usually don't. The guy didn't steal my credit card. I found it. But it was one of those, like, whoa, what is this?
I totally thought he had it.
Is this guy, did he pickpocket me at LAX? Right? And then I texted you guys, "Hey, can you check the desk?"
Good.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, that was totally like there's a scene on the Pete Davidson SNL where I can't remember the woman's name of the actress, but she's great. She fell through the desk, the Grainger desk, of course, and it shattered. The Grainger desk would never shatter, but like I always wonder, like when you plan those things, what if the desk doesn't break? Right?
Sure.
I just had the opposite. Didn't mean for my wallet to go flying again.
This
time, okay. Quarterback news. Doug Peterson.
Peterson.
Just said that Trevor Lawrence is day-to-day with a knee. Didn't sound like it was bad, but didn't have an update.
And a bone bruise, right?
The Jacksonville Jaguars open up week 7 in...
New Orleans.
79 hours from when we now talk to you in New Orleans against the Saints. The 3-3 Saints got a big win yesterday. Jaguars 4-2, big win for them. So, yeah. Trevor Lawrence, keep an eye on that one. He has a knee. Also today, Kevin Stefanski saying the same thing. Day to day, no update on Deshaun. The insiders, whichever insider you choose to get your information from on Sunday, kind of intimated that maybe Deshaun is back this week. Don't know. I spoke to Kevin Stefanski this past Friday, taping the coach's show interview that aired yesterday morning before kickoff. I couldn't get much more out of him. I asked the question, is he close? I want to say that I inferred that maybe from body language the answer was yes, but that would be, I think, my glass half full fanboy optimism, and I don't know that I would trust that inference. Browns are in Indy this week. It might be PJ Walker, Gardner Minshew. Other ones to keep an eye on today. Speaking of the Colts, maybe some more insight today from Shane Steichen on Anthony Richardson. He was at the Colts game yesterday in Jacksonville. He had his arm in a sling. The report over the weekend and late last week as well that Anthony Richardson may shut it down. He's already on IR. The question is, does he shut it down for season-ending surgery? Ooh. He's already at a month.
Whoa.
Maybe a little bit longer. Does he shut it down? Keep an eye on that one. And then also, Justin Fields. Keep an eye on that one. And there's a lot at play here with the Bears quarterback. Listen, we know they got the win in Washington 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, back down to earth, they lose to the Vikings. Now they get the Raiders coming to town. Justin Fields had come off two really good games, won a win, won a loss. Yesterday was not a good game, and then he got hurt. Tried to fight through what sounds like a dislocated thumb, popped it back in, couldn't grip the ball, went to the tunnel with a towel over his hand so you couldn't see it there at Soldier Field. If he can't go, I'm just going to guess, let's say he doesn't. Let's play hypothetical here.
Sure.
Bears get the Raiders again. You get Tyson Bagent at quarterback. Tyson Bagent, not Bagent, not Bagent. Tyson Bagent at quarterback, who rewrote the Division II record book at Shepherd in West Virginia. Shepherd is where he went to school. He had a chance late in his college career to transfer, get a D1 offer, go to Maryland in the transfer portal, but he would have been behind two. His brother likely wouldn't have played. Stayed at Shepherd, got his way to the Senior Bowl. I'll be honest, he didn't have the best week at the Senior Bowl, but when he got into the game on Saturday, he played reasonably well. One of those guys, you know, I think he caught up to the speed moving up to Division I or FBS and then played reasonably well in the game. Bears got him in there, and the Bears thought enough of him or maybe didn't see enough from PJ Walker to get rid of Walker at the end of camp and make Tyson Bagent the number two. PJ a little bit bitter about that, eventually ended up with the Browns on their practice squad when they shipped Josh Dobbs to Arizona, and then PJ did the deal yesterday. Now, I don't think the Bears would want PJ Walker back, but the Browns might be in an interesting position here where they would have to sign PJ Walker to the active roster to keep him away from a team like the Bears. And again, to be clear, I have no inside information the Bears want PJ Walker back. I don't think that they would. But it might be Tyson Bagent for a little bit here for the Bears.
Yeah, looking at these Shepherd Rams stats for Tyson Bagent.
They had cool helmets, the Colorado State helmet. Yep.
Man, this guy is great. 17,000 career passing yards, 159 touchdowns, including 53 in 2021. This dude lit it up.
And his dad is, I'm not kidding, the greatest arm wrestler of all time. Not kidding. Not kidding. His dad is a trip.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I should have. This is me doing a bad job, you know, working together with you guys. We got to pull the NFL Plus clip from the Senior Bowl back in January. We'll get it for you. Where Tom Pelissero interviewed his dad down on the field during practice during the week. And his dad, his dad is like a WWE character in the arm wrestling world.
He's a 19-time world
arm wrestling champion. He's a 19-time world champion. Crazy. And as TJ, to use a wrestling term, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys say a guy's got great mic skills, right?
Oh, yeah, he's nice
okay.
on the mic.
I learned that from Michael Thompson, father of Clay and Trace, my former radio partner, who is like a 65-year-old, 12-year-old, who still watches, I love Michael, who still watches wrestling every single week.
TJ.
Yeah.
TJ's dialed.
He would always tell me about, oh, but he's got great mic skills. I'm like, hold on. You're telling me it's not fake, but all you care about is his mic skills. But anyway, I digress.
Geez, I got to sit you down.
His dad grabs the mic and just undresses Tom Pelissero. And it was, I mean, Tom was such a great sport with it. I say undresses. He didn't embarrass him. It was all in good fun, but it was absolutely hysterical. And then, of course, he beat him
And then, like, pointed to the crowd. Anybody up there, you guys can come and get some of this as well.
His dad is rocked up. He's diesel. I'm watching this thing the NFL produced from, March or whatever, earlier this year. He's crazy. You're right. He is a wrestling character.
Yes. But such a good dude. And part of me, and I didn't talk to Tyson about this specifically, part of me kind of felt like, all right, is dad stealing his thunder here? Because we put his dad on TV because dad's such an amazing character. I know he loves his dad, right? But this was also the kid's big moment. Like, he's at the Senior Bowl here as a Division II, as an FCS quarterback. Like, I mean, from Shepherd.
It's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, played reasonably well yesterday. Yeah, he had some turnovers. But it might be Tyson Bagent guy. Guys, girls, friends, Romans. It might be Tyson Bagent at quarterback. So keep an eye on that one. Do the Bears have to make a move? Nathan Peterman in the building?
Peterman? Tell you about Peterman.
Peterman. But yeah, there's that as well.
But it's not like Bears fans want to win, right?
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
You know what I mean?
What do you do? Guess who wants to win? Matt Eberflus.
Right, everybody.
To keep his job.
Right.
DJ Moore.
Ryan Poles, I mean, like, you got a new president in there and Kevin Warren as well.
But they're going to have a top three pick, whether it's their own or
the
Carolina's.
Panthers.
And they might have their own. They might have two in the top five.
They might.
And then what?
And then what?
Bears are in a good position, wouldn't we say?
Well, sure.
Well, good position, but for the future.
Sure,
not,
for the future, not this for
year.
This group. Well, what do you do with this group? Tyson Bagent is probably now your quarterback. The other thing, too, on the Carolina Panthers, and obviously the Bears own the Panthers pick, Frank Reich today just said that the play calling duties that he is giving to offensive coordinator Thomas Brown, they're 0-6, said it was the plan all along. Like I told you, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's the bye week. This was the plan all along. It is a fair question to ask. In light of what Frank Reich last week said about David Tepper's hands-on management style, did the owner tell Frank Reich, that's it, I don't like your plays anymore? Give it to Thomas Brown. Frank Reich says, not the case. My decision, this was the plan all along. And he is kind of right that he had said during the offseason, at one point, I will give over play-calling duties. However, 0-6 bye week, kind of, sort of, does it not feel just a bit weird? All right, let's go to the phones. Do we have time for the phone call?
Let's do it real quick.
All right.
Let's go.
844-204-RICH. Turzo in Iowa has been hanging around.
All right.
Man, you're amazingly patient, buddy.
Yeah, what's up, Andrew? Hey, first off, before I get to that Niners-Browns game, how does Brockman eat his donut? I'm really curious.
Oh, I forgot. Turzo, thank you. Because, hey, I'm self-aware. I've been trying to self-analyze here. I need to do things better. And I said last week, the one thing I do really poorly is paying off a tease, right? So here's how Brockman eats a donut. I brought in a box of donuts today. Brockman goes over there, and he won't take a full donut. Just take a donut and shove it in your face, buddy.
I don't want to do that, though.
Why? He cuts them, Turzo, and then he walks over there, and he walks back with a piece of a donut on a fork, and he's eating it. What? Like one might eat a piece of cheese off a charcuterie board.
How do you eat it? With your hands?
Yes. But then he leaves
like a grown-up,
like portions of donuts over there. And then when the others, like us, or normal people that might walk into an office and see a box of donuts walk up, you look at a half-eaten donut. You don't want to touch the half-eaten donut because you don't know. Like, did some psycho just take a bite out of it and leave it there? Or are your grummy hands? You don't do the grummy hands thing. You cut it. Thank you.
Cutting.
But, like, the other people don't know about your donut etiquette, and they don't want to touch the other. You know, they don't want your donut scraps.
I don't want a full donut.
I want to eat
quarters of different flavors.
So you want to sample them all?
Yeah, I want a donut sample.
So Brogman's a big munchkin guy.
So why don't you eat the munchkins? Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to be like the munchkin guy.
Munchkins weren't available to me.
Okay. There's a donut shop around the house, around the corner from my house, and I just walked in this morning and said, give me a dozen.
You're doing great.
Okay, next time I'll get to the munchkins. Turzo, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so, Andrew, man, I'm really proud of you for that broadcast, dude. That must have been so awesome.
We had a good time. We had a great crew there who made my life easy.
Team, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, very good. And I know you're a Niner fan.
Yeah, and you know, I just hate leaving the game in a Michigan kicker's hands. You know, like
nice.
Robbie Gould's still sitting out there, and we had to draft a kicker in the third round. Still not very happy with that, but you know, I think I picked the Niners to have lost to the Browns at the start of the season whenever I did my win-loss for the show. When I saw Myles Garrett push over Trent Williams one point in time, those two dudes are crazy good. And to see Myles Garrett do that, he was disturbing the whole game. I about threw up whenever I saw Trent Williams get hurt. Thank God he came back in the game. But, man, that was a battle.
Yeah, it was, and you realize Jake Moody hadn't missed a kick before Sunday. He had gone the first 5 weeks of his NFL career without missing a kick of any kind, field goal or extra point. He did miss one earlier in the day, and then he missed one, and that is a notoriously bad end zone to kick in, the west end zone there in Cleveland, the opposite side of the dog pound. And he just missed it. He hit it well, right of the right upright. And he pushed it to the right. Denzel Ward also. Turzo, thanks for the call. Denzel Ward almost blocked that. You look at the replay again. I didn't necessarily see it. I mean, I saw him screaming off the edge. I didn't realize how close he was until you see the replay. Denzel Ward was this close to blocking that ball. All right. Emmett Smith right around the corner. Also coming up, I'm going to try to dig up that Tyson Bagent dad stuff. Because it's awesome. All right. Andrew, sitting in for Rich. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Ed. Yeah. Ed, swap spots.
Go
out there with Rod. It's like the Ravens I'm gonna high point it.
Okay.
I'm gonna high point this thing. Kurt Warner. You ready?
He's going to take you both down.
Right. This is going to end. That's not even mic'd up.
Right. This is going to end bad.
I'm ready.
Here we
go. All right. Go. Come on.
That was interference on the defense.
Absolutely. How much time we got left
on the defense? All right, come on. We gotta make this happen.
That was a pass interference.
Hey,
he poked me. I saw how you operate.
This is amazing.
Go with the quick out, Rich.
Uh-oh. He means business now.
Oh, right, now he's coming.
Go. Uh-oh.
See,
we're working.
Yes!
That's it!
Fantastic.
Two Hall of Famers.
By the way.
And I can say that.
I'm the only host that lays out like that. Normally I lay out for a soundbite, not a football.
Emmitt Smith coming up in about 20 minutes here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yes. My name is Andrew, sitting in for Rich, who is back mañana. Had big news in the football world today. Huge. We're getting another gold medal, everyone. Actually, it was just announced this morning. We as Americans, are winning a bunch of more gold medals coming up in Paris. Actually, I'd take it back. In L.A. in 28. In 2028, when the Olympics are here in Los Angeles. We are going to win a bunch of more medals. Why? Because it was announced today that Olympic sports in 2028 will include baseball. It's back. Bring back the 84 team, Mark McGwire, Scott Bankhead, Barry Larkin, Corey Snyder. Let's do it. Softball. We are winning that one as well. Lacrosse. The Canadians might win that one. Squash. I don't know. Maybe.
Italy?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Cricket. Probably not us.
Not us.
But the headline here, coming to the Olympics in 2028, Del Tufo, you got a drum roll?
Nah.
Okay, no drum roll.
Easier said than done.
Okay. Did you have applause when I announced what's coming in 2028?
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Yep, I'm good.
Flag football. In all seriousness, this has been a big push for the NFL. Huge flag initiative here at the youth level. It's a safer way to get into the sport. Flag is taking off all over the country. This is huge for the football community, for the international growth in football as well. Our football, American football, the football that we love. This is huge. And I'll say it right now. I believe that we will win.
I can feel it.
I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win.
Okay.
I agree with you. I mean.
But here's what I want to do. Kind of like the Dolphins playing with their food yesterday. I want to field a team that doesn't include NFL players.
Oh.
Tyreek Hill says he already wants to play. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tyreek, like the old NFL Street. Remember that video game back in the day? Oh, the Sega Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
All right, he could play every position, and we'd be fine. He could throw it to himself. He could throw it and then, like, run it and catch it.
Like Mr. Perfect.
But let's go with the gold with other athletes from other sports. Let's get Kevin Durant to play flag.
Yes.
Let's do that. Brockman, you said let's get Aaron Judge to play flag.
Why can't he be the lineman or like a tight end? Who's stopping that guy?
Let's do it. Let's win it that way.
Way more fun.
Way more fun.
Remember when LeBron James and Kevin Durant had like a flag football championship game with each other?
Right.
Like some indoor facility. That was awesome. Let's get something like the NBA players. I think NBA players
would be
the best.
Let's build a flag team. TJ, who do you want on the flag team?
So we're thinking 2028. So that's 2028. 5 years
from now. A little bit down the road.
So, I mean, let's see. Who's so uberly athletic? It would have to be an NBA person. So,
NBA players, I think, are the most athletic, right?
Without question. You know who I'd like to see run some routes? John Morant.
What about jump balls to Joel Embiid on the goal line?
Sure.
Well, again, you're talking now, he's like 38, 30, no.
It's fine.
Six.
Joel Embiid?
At 5 years from now?
How old is he right now?
I think he'll be 30.
I don't know how old Joel Embiid. That's why I'm asking you, the Sixer
fan. But we need people from all over. Like, you mentioned Aaron Judge. Like, give me Royce Lewis or something like
Jose
that.
Jose Altuve.
To do what?
Sure.
Run.
Why not?
He could run. Why not?
Why not?
Have him run around.
People, you pick the smallest athlete.
I want to win.
I want him to run.
I want to win the flag football championship with a team full of players that are not football players. We've all played football in the backyard.
I like it.
Right?
I like it.
We'll have our turkey bowl, right?
Turkey bowl.
Turkey bowl.
So let's get a great collection of American athletes and go win.
TJ, you may not know his name right now, but you will 5 years from now. How about Cooper Flag?
Oh, Cooper Flag. Okay. I say, you know, a guy who made a kind of a bold statement about whether or not American championships are really world championships.
Oh,
Noah
one.
Lyles. The track and
Noah
field
Lyles
star.
Would
Let's
be
put
perfect.
Him out there on the field. Like, yeah. And that way he can continue his world championship.
Absolutely.
And who's going to cover him, by the way?
I did, as mentioned, did Ohio State Purdue on Peacock with an amazing crew in West Lafayette on Saturday. And Lewis Johnson, obviously.
Okay.
You know, track and field legend Lewis Johnson and a pillar of NBC's track and field broadcasting and Olympics broadcasting for years. We were in the car on the way there talking about the great Mr. Lyles. How about that? Bring it on.
I'd like that.
TJ, in your vein, he's the currently highest ranked American in the high jump, Javon Harrison.
Do it.
Bring him in.
Let's get him in there for some jump balls.
Otani.
He's Japanese.
American
player.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah.
He can play for Japan.
Thank you for
Someone
trying.
Someone said Wembanyama. He can play for France.
Yeah.
Play for Team France.
Yeah. Scoot. I want Scoot out there.
Will the French field a flag football team in 2028 in L.A.?
Scoot built like a football player.
Scoot already looks like a man. Let's get him out there.
I like that.
I'm all in. And for those of you that want to go flag football, you know what? Go back to your lawn and stay there. And then you can yell at us to get off it if you want. flag football. Bring it on. It's fun. And as a baseball fan, we're all baseball fans. Yeah, baseball, L.A., 2028. It feels right.
It's going to be cool.
It's going to be great. Dodger Stadium Olympic Games?
Right. In.
How cool is that?
I will be there.
I will be there.
I will be there.
Absolutely.
It's going
to
be awesome.
To quote Tina Fey, I want to go to there. Okay?
Yeah.
I will be there. Come up next hour, Justin Fields update. Also, coming up next hour, Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith.
Back.
What does he think of the Cowboys tonight in L.A. against the Chargers? On the Roku here, though, I'll tell you, we do have a Justin Fields update. Matt Eberflus, the Fluce, as they call him. Matt Eberflus says that Justin Fields is doubtful this week with a dislocated thumb, but doesn't have a timetable. It really comes down to grip strength. Justin Fields couldn't grip the football yesterday. That's why Tyson Bagent had to be the guy. So, also, right guard Nate Davis for the Bears has a high ankle sprain. He's out this week. He's week to week. So there.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all?
I feel like a dislocated thumb hurts. Never had it. Feel like that hurts.
Josh McDaniels says also being told that they quote unquote dodged a bullet with Jimmy Garoppolo's injury, says that it's probably better than it appeared yesterday, but no real update on whether or not he will play this week, because that is what Josh McDaniels does. And that is what most coaches will do on a Monday. Unless it is a severed limb, joking aside, they are not going to tell you that they are definitely out on Monday. Everyone is day to day. Everybody is week to week. As NFL coaches will always remind you, I don't have to give you a definitive answer on anything until Wednesday at the earliest. That is when the league mandates that I file an injury report. Eberflus says, by the way, no word yet on surgery, but they'll know by the end of the week on Justin Fields' thumb.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.